Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
A candidate for governor wants your vote. Let's go in-depth with Libertarian candidate Rick Stewart.
So Rick, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm native Iowan, born in Postville, raised in Maquoketa, living in Cedar Rapids. My great-great-grandfather came to Iowa in 1853. He went down to Keokuk, so I've got that whole eastern seaboard of Iowa covered. Went to school here, but I got lucky. I went to high school at one of the most prestigious high schools in America, Phillips Academy in Andover, Mass., because I was a Des Moines Register paperboy. So I was affirmative action back then. You know, getting somebody from Iowa was a real reach for them. But I did get to go to 4 years of the best high school in the world. Not bragging. and then, you know, I had a year of college on the West Coast, but I got caught up in the hippie age. So I dropped out of college. I traveled in Europe and the Middle East and Asia for 2 years. I came back and I was a uniformed police officer for 2 years. But then I got lucky. I had a hobby and it turned into a business. And we sold herbs and spices to natural food stores starting just here in Iowa. That business today is a $200 million business, 600 employees. In 1992, I was Iowa's Small Businessman of the Year, first national runner-up for Small Businessman of the Year. And it was because the company that we started was creative and imaginative, and we broke all the rules in a good way. So we have on-site childcare. We still do. If you're a woman or a man, you have a baby, you can bring it in, you know, 3 days later and start work again, knowing that your baby is basically within a few steps of where you're working. And then that goes all the way through. We have after-school care, day camp, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, I had other things I wanted to do in addition to work and earn money. And my own kids grew up and moved out of the house, so I retired and I started traveling. I did other things. I hiked the Appalachian Trail from start to finish. I have a little apartment down in Guatemala. I hike volcanoes, taking tourists up and bringing them back down again, and that earns enough money for a charitable organization that has a school for first through sixth grade for 175 kids and an orphanage for 35 kids. Our hiking organization provides all the money they need to run that. So, you know, I really enjoy giving back. I really enjoy the outdoor pursuits and, adventures. I traveled to other places, a lot of places that people have heard of on the news, but not too many people go to. I've been to Cuba twice. I've been to North Korea. Been to Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, most of those places that have had problems. I seem to have been to either slightly before or slightly after. Never been to the Ukraine, though, so don't blame me for that. But somewhere in there, I realized I was just, I paid more attention to the government, and I was complaining. Nothing was changing, and I said, I think I'm going to throw my hat in the ring because I'm not the kind of guy that just likes to sit around and complain. I'd rather do something. And what I do is I'm a libertarian, and I run for office, and I'm trying to bring the libertarian message of freedom to everybody in Iowa so that we can, what I say, return to our roots, because Iowa is originally a libertarian state. It's right in our state motto, our liberties we prize and our rights we will maintain. And really, it's the liberty of the Revolutionary War, trying to throw off the oppressive yoke of the British in order to have the freedom to live our own lives and not be ruled by tyrants. I believe that today, in 2022, government has grown oppressive and tyrannical, not because they're evil-minded, but because they're incorrect in their assessment of how to make the American experiment even better than it already is. We are the richest country in the world, and there's a reason for that. We're not blessed, but we're special. We're different. Our democracy is the strongest democracy in the history of the world, but I'm afraid the two-party system has started to erode it. The two-party system basically consists of the Democratic marketers and the Republican marketers trying to get us to be afraid of the other side. We all know that fear is the greatest human motivator. And so if you want to motivate somebody to vote for you, the best way is to scare them by telling them how bad their opponent is. Libertarians, we think differently.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Libertarian candidate for Iowa Governor, Rick Stewart.
And so you're running for governor. Why do you want to be governor?
Well, the Libertarians have a special reason to want to get a good performance in a governor's race, because if we get 2% of the vote, we become a major party in Iowa. And we have to do governor and then 2 years later, president, governor, president. We did it for president back when Gary Johnson ran in 2018, but we've never gotten 2% for governor. I strongly believe that our time is this year. I've run for other positions statewide in Iowa. I've always gotten over 2%. The more I run, the more name recognition I have. Libertarians, it's our time. It's what we're the solution to the current problem that we only have two parties.
Well, I see your, if I remember correctly, and I'm sure you can correct me if I'm wrong, I saw polling that had you at 5%.
I was very happy to see that 5.
Yeah, which is, that reinforces what you just said, that you, if you can get that, if you can get that 5%, that's a big deal.
Yeah, there was also just the straw poll, which of course I don't count, but the Iowa State Fair, the straw poll, I came in at 9%. And then I noticed the Johnson County Fair, they had a straw poll, and I came in at 10%. You know, it's going to be surprising if we do that well, but based on the number of people in Iowa who are tired of the two-party system, and they've heard of libertarianism, now they're learning that they can vote for it. We have a Libertarian Party of Iowa. I believe I'm a strong candidate as a libertarian for the Libertarian Party. So I'm very optimistic about what we're going to be able to do.
If you're governor, what would you do? What would you do differently than Kim Reynolds?
Well, the first day on the job, I will issue a pardon for every non-violent drug offender in the history of Iowa. The drug war is the worst mistake America ever made. If you want to argue about that, you're probably going to have to tell me that the Civil War was worse. Just let me point out that the Civil War only lasted 4 years and the drug war has already lasted over 100 years. We had 100,000 people just last year die of the opioid epidemic, which is just a drug war epidemic. None of those deaths would have occurred, or at least single-digit thousands at the maximum, if we had a regularized and a normalized and a rational drug policy. And that drug policy has to allow us to normalize the recreational drugs, just like we've already done it for alcohol and tobacco, both of which are much more dangerous than any of the other drugs. That's the first move on day one. Some other issues, of course. I totally agree that the Reynolds administration change to a flat tax is a great change, but I'd eliminate the income tax for a very simple reason. It's the worst kind of tax. Even if you still need that much money, that's the worst way to collect it. It's inefficient. It's ineffective. It irritates everybody, and it's really hard to collect. I don't know about you, but you know, every year I have to figure out how much tax I owe. It encourages people to lie. It encourages people not to work. A tax which encourages people not to work is a very strange tax if you want to get people working. So I would get rid of it. We're going to have to replace it with something else for a little bit until we pare down the state budget. You know, some other differences is I am completely and totally opposed to eminent domain for private gain. Kim Reynolds has not come out and said that she's in favor of that, but the tea leaves suggest that she is in favor of that. I don't believe that private companies should be able to get the state to condemn land, so of landowners that don't want to sell or don't want to lease it. So I will not allow eminent domain to proceed for private to gain.
Well, some of that, I want to dig into this a little bit. Some of those private companies are doing projects that ultimately are for the public good. Let's just say, you know, a pipeline that is needed, or let's say electrical power lines to go out and that private companies might be doing the work, but we all need the electricity or we all need the oil or whatever. And so how do you do that with that? Or a highway. Let's just say that we wanted to put a highway from Pella to I-80. There's no good way to get from Pella to I-80. I mean, there just isn't one. And there's pretty routes, but there's not a good route for commerce. That would take eminent domain. And how would you do that without eminent domain? There's all kinds of projects for the history, throughout the history of the country and around the world, that you couldn't do it without something like eminent domain.
Right, and eminent domain is in the Iowa Constitution, which means it's completely constitutional, but it does have to be for a public good. And these current pipeline companies, none of them are common carriers or public utilities. They're just private companies. It's obvious that they're not common carriers because, I don't have the right to put my carbon dioxide into them, and just the people who have carbon dioxide do. Here's the problem, okay? When you want to do a big project like that, a public works project, then if you do believe that it is in the public good, and if you have the constitutional authority, and in Iowa we do have the constitutional authority, then you have to have some measure of saying, okay, how many miles of that road or of that electric line are we going to look for a voluntary transaction? So the landowners voluntarily say, yes, I'll sell you my land for the road, or yes, I'll let you put up your telephone lines across my property. You have to have a pretty high number of people that are willing to, and then the very last few, you say, well, listen, it's 80 to 20, or it's 90 to 10. So sorry, but yes, we're going to take your land. These pipeline companies, that's not who they are. They're just trying to take their gas from one spot, an ethanol plant, to another spot, a deep well in, who knows, South Dakota or maybe Illinois. And they have other ways to do it. They could do that by rail. They could do that by truck. I don't know. Maybe they could drill a deep hole underneath the ethanol plant and pump it down deep enough, and that'd be okay too. But they're actually having to cut across the land of the vast majority, really, of people don't want to have a carbon pipeline on their land.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Libertarian candidate for Iowa Governor, Rick Stewart. I derailed this a little bit. There's lots of issues related to eminent domain, but I really want to get back to, you know, some of the other major things that you'd like to accomplish in the few minutes we have left.
Well, the Iowa mental health care crisis is another issue that's very near and dear to my heart, because I myself have a son who suffered a severe psychotic episode about 5 years ago. Being retired, I went through that whole thing with him. I was the major caretaker. So I've seen it from up close and personal. First when he was put into Mercy Hospital in Cedar Rapids, and then later when he went to the University of Iowa Hospitals. And we had to have him committed, or I should say we did commit him, because we thought that was best for him and it was against his wishes. The good news is he's fine now. He's back to his original job and he hasn't had any episodes for four and a half years. But I've seen it up close. And the big problem that I see is access. We just don't have enough access to the psychiatric medication, which will help. And so if it's acute position, basically your only hope is you have to go to one of the hospital emergency rooms, which costs an enormous amount of money. Luckily for him, he had insurance, so it was covered. But I've got two ideas. Number one is we let the psychiatric nurses in Iowa prescribe psychiatric medication. They're the frontline workers. They know what they're doing. They have experience with this. There's no reason that they can't prescribe. Most of these psychiatric medications are a little bit like a shot in the dark anyway, but you don't have to worry too much that it's dangerous if you pay attention. We shouldn't insist that you can only get these prescriptions from a psychiatrist. But number two, there's actually one psychiatric medicine available right now today, which is the most effective psychiatric medicine in the history of the world. It's head and shoulders above any other psychiatric medication, but unfortunately the drug warriors and the DEA have made it illegal to use. The thing about it is we have the world's most effective mental health medication available for us today, but it's illegal to use. Psychedelic psychotherapy, psychedelic assisted therapy is 65% effective as a permanent lifetime cure for PTSD. In America, we have 5,000 or 6,000 veterans every year that commit suicide. Figure that out. That's 15 or 20 veterans every day that are committing suicide because it's illegal to provide that medical care for them in the United States. This is very close to being legalized because it's almost gone through the FDA approval process, but the Drug Enforcement Administration and the drug warriors that work there will not allow it to proceed. So a veteran can't go and get that in America. That's something I would bring right to Iowa on day one, and I will stand between the feds and our patients who suffer from PTSD, because I will not let my soldiers die while I stand by. They are going to get the help that they need and that's effective when I'm the governor of Iowa.
Okay, you've got 1 minute to make a final case why people should cast their vote for you.
Well, you know, if you're happy with what's going on today, don't vote for me because I'm going to change things. If you think the Republicans are doing a great job or the Democrats are doing a great job, then that's who you should vote for. But if you think that this country can do a lot better and that this state can do a lot better, and the way to get there is to stop the fighting and start the cooperating and let somebody like me, who is a proven CEO, take charge of the government, make things happen quickly, effectively, efficiently, and with a smile on my face and a smile on the face of 3.3 million Iowans. If you can dream that that's possible, then vote for me, and I will prove to you that it is possible.
Thanks to Rick Stewart for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.